You did.
Did it?
Yeah, you did. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
So, I grew up just outside of Chicago, so I'm a northerner, a Yank, and I always heard the term pregnant until I came down south, and no, I didn't get smacked. And then I heard one that I kind of liked, in the family way. And so whenever my wife was pregnant, I would say she was in the family way. I kind of liked that. Proverbs chapter 14, please. Thank you, Brother Junior. You know, when it comes to changing the words and the Word of God, it's especially the Word of God, there's condemnation. You find it in the beginning. You find it in the middle of the book, and you find it all the way in the end again in the book of Revelation, where God says, if any man add to these words or take away from these words, they're going to be blotted out. I believe it says there in the book of Revelation. And so it's a serious matter. But not only that, just words in general. Like I gave our pastor a book the other day, The Language of the King James Version, and it talks about how just subtle changes just in words, how they lose such meaning. And now our children that are growing up, they don't even speak in words anymore. Everything's text and phrases and three-letter words, and you know, people don't know how to communicate one with another anymore because everything is just five-second blips, and that's how they catch your attention. You know, when you sit and watch a commercial, if the screen is just frozen for more than 10 seconds, it's like, what's going on? You know, we're so used to just everything coming at us so fast, information, and the world's really changing, and it's going to change very fast here, especially this decade. Things are going to leap by quantum levels. It's going to be interesting to see. So we need to stay in our Bible, amen. We need to know where the old paths are, and we need to ask for them, and we need to find them, and we need to walk in them. Because all that's out in this world, all that glitters is not gold. And all of the promises contain empty lies, and the devil's the father of that. And so we need to be mindful, and we need to be careful, amen? So praise God, he's given us his word.
Amen.
And we can dive into it, and we can learn from it, and we can apply it to our life. Just as we started, I don't know if this is going to be another series, but last week we started here in the book of Proverbs, and we talked about the man who feared the Lord, as we're looking at some people in Proverbs. And that, and the Bible told us that that's the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of knowledge when a man learns to fear the Lord. But you only come to that place when you recognize who he is and who you are. And that takes place when God is convicting your heart and working on your life in salvation. Then we give him the honor and glory due his name. Amen. So here in Proverbs 14 and verse 15, we're going to look at another individual. This would be the prudent man. Prudence is not a word that we hear too often in our day and age, or somebody being prudent. It's not used, brother, you know, just as words change. Really, it's kind of more of an older English word. But it's wisdom applied to practice. Wisdom applied to practice. It means cautious, careful of the consequences of actions. And how important is that for all of us, not just our younger ones, but we need to know that there's consequences for our actions. And a man who is prudent will apply wisdom to his practice, and so he foresees the evil and hides himself. Or he knows that, you know what, if I go over there, this might happen, so I'm going to stay away. Or if I say this, that might happen, and so I'm going to keep my mouth shut. Or if I, whatever it is in any area of our life. But here in Proverbs 14 and verse 15, as we start, it says, the simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. He wants to know and he wants to understand where he's at and where he's going, and he's going to consider the consequences of his actions. Now, that'd be great if we did that all the time, right? Because oftentimes we go places or we do things or we say things that we wish we wouldn't have. We weren't being prudent, right?
Right.
When we're prudent, we're being cautious. We're being careful. We're applying wisdom. You see, the prudent man is going to order his goings by the Bible. Remember, we were just talking about the scriptures. It's a lamp unto our feet and it's a light unto our path. It shows me where I'm at and where I'm going. And without this, I'm in the dark. And the choices and the decisions that I'm going to make are probably not going to be the right ones, or they're going to have some serious consequences to my Christian life if I'm not applying the Bible, which is wisdom, to my life. But remember, first and foremost, it comes from fearing God, from knowing Him. So the prudent man, he's going to weigh all of his decisions against the scriptures. It's what we call a biblical worldview. There is such a vast difference in those that are out in the working world, those that have walked in their Christian life for any time, know that there is a vast difference between the man who tries to apply the Bible to his life and the individual who just lives his life. He lives his life for the day, or he lives his life for the here and now. It's very different. It's not a biblical worldview. You see, when we have a biblical worldview, we look at life through the Bible. This is our glasses in how I am going to decide how I live, where I go, what I do, how I should be thinking, what my plans should be for the future, how I treat my neighbor, how I do my dealings with my business, whatever it may be. It's a biblical worldview. How I vote, you know, everything about my life needs to come from the scriptures. That is a biblical worldview. It's not a humanistic worldview, an evolutionist worldview. It's a biblical worldview. It recognizes God as the creator and sustainer of all things, and salvation through Jesus Christ, His Son, and we being in the created in that image, we are to bring Him the honor and glory with our lives while we're here on this earth. You see, the prudent man, he weighs his words. He doesn't just say whatever he wants to say.
Right.
He tries, as the Bible says, the spirits. He doesn't believe everything, as it says here in the scriptures. The simple believeth every word, Proverbs 14, 15. No, because there's a lot of lies out there in this world, and there's a lot of deceit out in this world. And though somebody may talk with great flowing words, it doesn't mean it's right. Though they may have some letters behind their name, whether it's a PhD, a doctorate, a BA, an MA, whatever it is, it doesn't mean that they're wise.
Right.
So let's understand, just because they're wearing a white coat doesn't mean they're wise.
Right.
Just because they're in a shirt and tie doesn't mean they're wise.
Right.
Wisdom only comes from God.
Amen.
And the man who is wise is the man who applies the Bible to his life. When he does that, he's prudent. Okay. So we have to try the spirits. We don't just believe every word. We try the spirits. Well, how do we try the spirits? By the way, if you're not familiar with that term, it's found over in 1 John chapter 4, I believe, in verse 1. It talks about trying the spirits whether they're of God or not.
Right.
Okay? What is this man saying?
Right.
And how is it going to influence my life if I continue listening to him? You know, whether it's a teacher, if I'm a student, whether it's an employer, whether it's somebody I watch on the TV or listen on the radio or whoever it may be, how are they influencing me?
Right.
I need to weigh those words. I need to judge those words. How? According to the scriptures.
Yes.
So we're not going to believe every word of man, but we will believe every word of God. Amen. Let God be true and every man a liar. We're not going to be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine, because we're grounded and we're settled in the Word of God.
Amen.
We have the wisdom and the mind of God when we have the Scriptures. Why do we see such foolishness running rampant? Because there's no Bible. You know, even if people don't have salvation, then they're just religious, but they're trying to apply the Bible to their life. It's better than not. Though we want people to be saved, amen?
Amen.
We don't want to just see a bunch of religious folks. So the prudent man, he's going to look ahead. He's going to be careful about his surroundings, and he's going to be careful with his steps and where he goes. And turn to Proverbs 14. I had you there in verse 15. Look at verse 8. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. You see, I want to know where I'm at and what I'm accomplishing and what I am doing, because what I believe will dictate my behavior. If I believe a certain thing, I'm going to act a certain way, and I'm going to follow through plans and decisions and make choices based upon that. So what am I believing? What is influencing my life? I need to let the Word of God direct my life. Amen? Turn to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. And look here in verse 26. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. What does that mean? That means, again, this is just another idea of being prudent. I need to prepare my way. I need to understand my way. I need to consider my way. Ponder the path of thy feet. What is the direction I am going right now? Ask yourself that. What is it accomplishing for God, for my church, for my fellow man? Or is it just selfish? Am I being self-consumed? No, the prudent man, we're going to look at our life through the Scriptures, and we're going to let what we believe then dictate our behavior, amen, and the way we go and what we do. What is your plan? What is your purpose? See, the person that's not prudent, he just wanders aimlessly through his life. He has no direction. He has no fixed purpose. But the Apostle Paul says that his eyes were fixed on the prize, that he's pressing towards the mark. Are your steps ordered by the Lord? Or are they just taking you just wherever, whatever's new and whatever you hear next? And where's your anchor? What's keeping you grounded? Turn to Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs 8 and verse 12, the Bible says, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. There it is. And find out knowledge of witty inventions. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. They go hand in hand. The prudent are wise, and the wise are prudent. But few understand it because few wish to understand it. Where does wisdom come from? If any man lack wisdom, what does it say? James chapter 1, verse 5. Let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. We have to know, okay, God, I'm coming to you. I need wisdom. I need help in making decisions in my life and choices, whether it's something small or whether it's something large, whether it's career changes, where to live, where to go to school, what to do, how to respond. Lord, I need wisdom. And so, where does this wisdom come from? It comes from God. How do I apply this wisdom to my life? By being prudent, by having that wisdom and then practicing that in my life. But the prudent man, he's very active. Turn to Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18. Because our faith should be active. We're going to see here in Proverbs 18 and verse 15, the Bible says this, the heart of the prudent getteth knowledge. It's not just like, okay, God's given me this wisdom and now I have it. No, I need to continually be seeking after God. He gets the knowledge. In the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. We need to continually be searching the Scriptures. Why? Because you know what? I've read this Bible now close to 20 years. I got saved September 24th, 2001. Yeah, almost 20 years. So that's a long time. But you know what? I'm old. But you know what? I've changed. The Bible has not. But as I've changed, the Scriptures, though they're not changing, I'm learning new things from them that I didn't know 5 years ago, that I didn't know 10 years ago, that I didn't know 15 years ago. Why? Because it's a living, breathing book. It's alive. And the only way that I'll know that I am changing and that I'll gather new insights is by reading it and studying it, spending time in it. And so the prudent man, what is he doing? The Bible says that the heart of the prudent, he getteth knowledge. I want to get, but yet I also seek. Look here in Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs 2. I believe we looked at this verse last week, or these series of verses, because it's one of those if-then principles. Remember, if you do this, then I will do this. Proverbs 2, verses 1 through 5, we'll see the getting and the seeking and all of this. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, now look at these actions, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest for her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shall thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. And the text just continues on. Amen. What a blessing. So we're the prudent man, he's getting and he's seeking and he's hearing and he's applying, he's listening, he's... Because what is wisdom? Wisdom is the application of the facts, of the knowledge. How is one wise? Because is wisdom just heard? It can be, but wisdom is seen. The Queen of Sheba, when she came to visit Solomon, it said that she saw his wisdom. And then it lists some things in how he did this and how his people went up to the house of God and how this was done, because it was an application of facts, of knowledge. Proverbs 13, please. Again, a lot of the scriptures coming right here from the book of Proverbs. So if we're going to be getting and seeking, then the next thing is we're going to be dealing. Then dealeth. Proverbs 13 and verse 16. Every prudent man dealeth with knowledge, but a fool layeth open his folly. You see, you're going to understand that this person's prudent because of how he's dealing with his knowledge now, what you hear from him. He uses it right. He's a doer of the word and not a hearer only. And his actions are showing it. Amen. The prudent man can begin to fulfill God's will for his life because he's seeking, he's crying, he's inclining, all of those things we read, and now he's applying it to his life. And God can use that individual. Why? Because he's coming right to the scriptures to know what to do, where to go, what to say, how to think, how to act. Everything about his life is centered around the scriptures. So we see he looketh, he getteth, he seeketh, he dealeth. Now let's turn to Proverbs 12. Proverbs 12. Now he concealeth. Proverbs 12 and verse 23. You see, the prudent man, he's not a proud man, because we know God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. He's a humble man with all of his info and knowledge and wisdom. He doesn't boast. The wise man doesn't have to boast. The fool opens his mouth, the Bible says. And you can tell, man, this guy's a fool. Because of the way he speaks. The wise man can hold his words. And he can prove himself wise by not even speaking sometimes. Proverbs 12, verse 23. A prudent man concealeth knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness. Always wanting to talk about what's going on here, what's going on there, what they think they know, about themselves, or whatever it is. But the wise man, you know, he doesn't always have to open his mouth. Proverbs 17. Proverbs 17. Here we see it in verse 28. Even a fool, and we've already seen some verses about the fool in the book of Proverbs, but when you just sit down and read the book of Proverbs and spend some time in it, you will really see everything that it has to say about the fool. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. That means that he's keeping his mouth shut. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. Sometimes it's best just to keep our mouth shut. Amen? The prudent man knows what he knows, but he doesn't have to tell it because it shows in his life. Those oftentimes that have to speak, they're like, the Bible says they're like great swelling clouds, but without rain. It's like hitting a gong and it makes this, all this noise, but there's no substance to it. That's the fool. But the prudent man who knows how to use wisdom and he's applied it to his life, when he speaks, man, people want to hear. People will see it and there's something different. There's some substance to what this person is saying. It's not just vanity. A wise man does not lip his wisdom. He lives his wisdom. Amen? So, let's look at some more practicals here of the prudent man and we'll finish up. Proverbs 16. The prudent man, because who he is, he increases his learning. Proverbs 16 and verse 21. The wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increaseth learning. Again, it's just always learning new things. Why? Not to spout off to somebody what we now know, but we're learning so we can apply it to our life, so we can better live for God. Amen? You see, with learning the Bible comes doctrine, comes reproof, comes correction, comes instruction. We have to be open to be shown that because you know what? We don't know everything and we learn new things all the time. And sometimes even the wise man or the prudent man will have to be instructed. They might even have to be corrected. But how does the prudent man respond to this? Look here what the Bible says, Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15 and verse 5. A fool, again, you see the contrast? It's like when I talked last week about the man who feared the Lord, you oftentimes would see the individual who didn't fear the Lord. So we're learning how? By looking at the good, but you're seeing the contrast almost in every one of these verses here. A fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. Now, to regard, it means to look to or to attend to observe, to notice. So what is he doing? He's being reproved, and he's not fighting back. He's looking to it. Okay, maybe I do need to change. Maybe I was wrong. And that's difficult to say sometimes, isn't it? That's difficult to do. It's difficult when we realize maybe something we've been doing is wrong and we need to change it, or something we've been saying or something we've been planning, that it might not be what God would have for us. But when somebody comes along and offers some reproof, whether it's through the teaching and preaching of the Word of God, when the pastor gets up and proclaims it, we realize it, we need to be open to it. Well, the prudent man is open to it. Why? Because he's wise. And you know what? Then we'll make the necessary changes, whatever it may be. Okay, Lord, I've been doing this and it's wrong or it's not right, or maybe I should be doing it differently. And so help me to make this change in my life. Proverbs 6. Why? Because the Bible, it's a lamp and it's a light. And the reproofs of instruction are the way of life. If we're not being reproved, if we're not being instructed, if we're not being corrected from the Scriptures, then we're not attending to them. We're not regarding them. We're just dismissing them as just some idle words. If we're not paying attention to when the pastor gets up and starts teaching and preaching from the Bible, we're not regarding it in our heart. Our heart is somewhere else. Our mind is somewhere else. We're thinking about ourselves and all that we have to do instead of attending to the scriptures and attending to God. Proverbs 6:23. For the commandment is a lamp and the law is light and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. You know what? That means it's not just a one-time thing. It's the way of life. It just will continually be receiving instruction and correction. Continually we need to be making changes in our life. So, he's looking, he's getting, he's seeking, he's dealing, he's concealing, he's regarding. Now go to Proverbs 22. What else is he doing? Do you see all this action coming from the prudent man? Why? Because again, wisdom is application of the facts. It's putting into practice what we have learned. Proverbs 22, now he foreseeth. Proverbs 22, verse 3, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Because the simple, they don't care about what's going on or where they're at or what they're doing. La, 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 la. And they fall into the trap. But the prudent man, he foresees it. And you know what? Maybe instead of going this way, I need to go this way. Because there's danger up ahead. Prudence shows a man beforehand the consequences of his direction. And that's what we need. We don't just fall headlong or rush into whatever it may be because we're foreseeing these things. If we know that this is going to happen, then we need to flee from it. We need to run from it. We need to get away from it, okay? Because you know what? I know where that's going to lead. If I go there, then this is going to happen. If I end up doing this, then this might happen, this. Why? Because I'm foreseeing the evil that can come from this decision. Do we do that? Do we try to look that far ahead, or do we just face the consequences every time because we're not looking ahead? If we would just read our Bible, we could make the proper prudent decisions in every area of our life. And then we'll not have to suffer the consequences of hastiness, of not applying the scriptures. Okay? So, one more verse, Ephesians chapter 5. Listen, the prudent man is not going to find himself in places or with people that would compromise his testimony because it might lead him into temptation. You know, when the people on the job ask you to go here or ask if you want to go do this and you know what they're going to be getting involved in, you know what? No, thank you. We're going to do what? We're hiding ourselves from that. We're stepping back or we're turning around because we foresee the evil. All right. Ephesians 5 and we'll close. Ephesians 5 and verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Amen. And there's many more places in the New Testament we could go, but we've run out of time. We got about 10 minutes till we start. So are we exercising prudence in our life? Are we foreseeing what could happen? Are we applying the wisdom of the scriptures to our life? If we are, then we can be prudent. And we can make the right choices and the right decisions that will bring honor and glory to God. If we're not, what does the Bible call us? Fools. Let's not be fools. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the scriptures. Thank you for what they teach us and how they can instruct us and reprove us and correct us. I pray that you would help us to apply this wisdom to our lives. Lord, may it be very practical and may we attend to it, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You're dismissed.